Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. Said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost if we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Listen to that audience tonight, man. They're clapping. Hey, welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I'm your host, Jeremy Johnson. I'm here with my co-host, Chris Bikerson. Daryl's MIA right now, but he'll be joining us soon. Kim is on, Kim. And my good friend, Chris. Chris, how the hell are you doing tonight?
I am wore out, Jer. I tell you what, I spent hours walking around the back alleys of Cleveland trying to find somebody that could sell me whatever the hell Kamala was on when she was talking about the rocket men that launched. They really did. And on top of all that, every time I look up, there's some damn balloon with Chinese writing following me everywhere I go. I don't know what's going on, but I'm wore out.
No, that's in Montana. Come on. Deal with the program. Let's hear how our good friend and producer Kim is doing tonight. Kim, dear, how the heck are you doing tonight?
I am doing very well. How are you tonight?
I am great. It's nice to hear your voice. You've been busy the last couple of weeks, and it's good to hear you back on air with us. And, yeah, we got a hell of a show lined up.
I hear that. I'm looking forward to it. And I am glad to be back. I am happy to report that Chris Barber's website is up and functioning after Square shut us down. And we are up and back in business.
Phenomenal. For those of you that don't know who Chris Barber is Big Red from Canada. He is selling T-shirts and hoodies and all sorts of goodies. Kim, how do they find that website to go to Chris Barber, a.k.a. Big Red in Canada, to purchase hoodies and sweatshirts and T-shirts?
They can go to www.bigredmerch.ca. And, yeah, we ship to all of the U.S., all of Canada. And if by chance you can't, you live in Australia or somewhere else, message me on the contact form and I'll help you out. I'll hook you up.
Perfect. Appreciate it, Kim. And again, glad to hear you back. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a hell of a show lined up for you tonight. First of all, before we start, let me just inform our audience, you can find all of our shows on Spotify, The Disrespected Trucker Radio Show on Spotify. Every single one of our episodes is downloaded, like this one will be downloaded tomorrow. When Kim finds time, she works her butt off and makes sure that it's downloaded the very next day, and we appreciate that from Kim. So this is what we got lined up for you guys tonight. This is going to be a really informational packed show. Let's put it that way. First, we're going to have Lee and Lisa Schmidt come on with some breaking information for the trucking industry, some stuff that they've been up to, and they're going to explain that in about 10-15 minutes, and then we're going to go right to Alan and Taylor Martin. Alan and Taylor Martin had a daughter by the name of Trista, and Trista went and took the Pfizer vaccine. And after she took the Pfizer vaccine, she sadly passed away. And Alan and Taylor are going to come on and tell their story about what happened to their beautiful daughter, Trista. And then we're going to break into a round table, take some of your phone calls if you have any questions, what have you. And we're going to ask the Martins, you know, what their opinion is of some of the media's tactics involving the vaccines, and along with the CDC and the FDA and the NIH, and we're going to go into it all. So it's going to be a great show, ladies and gentlemen. An active show, a sad show. We're going to touch all of your emotions tonight, and I guess that's the cold hard reality of what we do here on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. But anyway, I see Daryl's on. Daryl, how are you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm over on I-80 heading home. I had a couple of delays, so I got to try to get home so I can get ready for surgery tomorrow. So I'm bobtailing at a high rate of friction. But I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm blessed to be with y'all. And, yeah, we're going to have a damn good show.
You do? Wait, you're up on I-80 driving bobtail?
Yep. Yeah, because, see, my trailer, I leased my hopper trailer, and it's up in Norfolk, and plus this guy ran into it, so they got to go fix it. So I let them have it, and while we're working on it, then I got to go all the way to the house, bobtail to the house, and then go get my surgery done. But, yeah, I leased the trailer. They're good people. Oh, boy. All right, I didn't even say it yet. All right, I'm going to say it now. And guess what, people? I am black. I did not vote for Biden. I don't have chains on my wrist. And guess what? I didn't vote for you, Biden. I'm still black. And Kamala is a
We might as well start to show off with that. Oh, good God Almighty. Oh, Lord, I apologize. Please be with the starving pygmies down there in New Guinea. Hey, let's just get right to it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to bring Lisa and Leon. I don't want to wait anymore for this exciting news. I've been waiting for this since they called and asked if they could come on and give an exclusive, and I was excited. I'm like, absolutely. they told me that this news is so exciting that we'll probably have to give them a little bit of time next Thursday for the radio show to get into it in more detail, because I'll let them explain it to you. Lisa, Lee, you are on the air at the Disrespected Trucker radio show. How are you all doing tonight?
I think you just have me, Jeremy, and we are super, super excited to be chatting with you tonight.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's been a week. We are in Washington, D.C., and we didn't bring our truck with us this time. It's pretty exciting to be here. This is the most how exciting can you be in D.C.? But this week we were excited.
So you're in Washington, D.C. Without your truck. What are you doing in Washington, D.C. without your truck?
You know, Chris said he was exhausted from walking all the back roads, and we are both exhausted from walking D.C. halls all week, and we literally have one more meeting tomorrow, and then we get to go home. We have come here with a culmination of 2.5 years of work, and we are in D.C. to establish truck drivers as stakeholders in this industry. We walked into offices and made ourselves known that drivers are the biggest stakeholder in the supply chain, and we will be addressed as such from here on out. We didn't ask permission. We just walked in and said, we're here, and we're not going away.
And what kind of response did you get with when you walked into offices, and who did you talk to? Let me ask that also.
Well, drivers will know, obviously we went to the FMCSA, that's one of the places, and with the information that we presented to them and that we will work with them in the future, and when I say work with them, it's not kowtow to them, it's give them information to help us be safer. You all know that they're not making us safer, so we have to do it ourselves.
Right. So you walked into the FMCSA, which is the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, for those of you that mm-hmm. are up to date with that, what that means. Did you talk to any congressmen, senators, or committee members, anything like that?
We talked to some of those people, but I have been sworn to secrecy until next week. I want everybody to, first of all, watch for the Overdrive article. We're doing an exclusive interview with Todd Dills on Monday, and they're going to put out everything he can put out. And then next week on your show, Lee and I will both be here, and we'll tell you anything that you want to know at that time. But I can tell you, for drivers and their friends that want to help us on this journey, to go to CDL Drivers and Friends website, and that is cdldf.org. It is absolutely free to join up, and you're going to get an email. Once you sign up on the website, you'll get an email. Go through that email, confirm your email, and join up and help us on our journey. And I'll tell you more about that next week, I promise.
Yeah, and when you sign up for that, if you don't mind, we'll get into it more in depth next week, but is there some kind of rewards for signing up or being a member of the CDLDF?
Rewards?
Or is that the CDLDU?
Drivers. We'll talk about all that kind of stuff next week. Right now, I'm just excited to tell you that drivers are a stakeholder, and many of us have been wishing for that. You know, when DC talks about stakeholders, they talk about ATA, they talk about OWIDA, but I'm going to tell you right now that CDL Drivers Unlimited, and that means all CDL holders, whether it's limousines, buses, dump truck drivers, over-the-road drivers, box truck drivers, if you have a commercial driver's license, we want you to be a part of us.
So basically what you're saying is there's a new sheriff in town, and you're about to make some noise.
That's right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen of the trucking industry, this certainly is big news because OOIDA, as you all know, Owner Operators Independent Drivers Association, has been, you know, in the forefront of representing drivers, so to speak, for many, many, many years. The ATA, the American Trucking Association, says that they're representing drivers, even though they're lobbying for the with and for the big trucking organizations, which is hurting the independent owner operators. And unfortunately, OOIDA, in my opinion, doesn't have what it takes to get the job done in Washington, D.C. As far back as I can remember, that it's, I don't know, as long as I've been in trucking advocacy for the last 5 years, there hasn't been a time where I've really seen them do something extraordinary for the trucking industry. So, and I'm not trying to put them down by any means. I just want people to know that. But I'm excited about the CDLDU for the simple fact that Lisa and Lee are close friends of mine. I talk to them on a regular basis, and I know their passion for this industry. And I know a little bit of what's going on, but I don't want to let it all the cat out of the bag, because I want them, they're the ones that experienced it. Those are the ones, these are the people that actually put the work in and went to D.C. and are lobbying for the trucking industry. So it's not my place to give any details, any small details that I may know, but I don't know that much. I know a little bit, not much. But so I appreciate you guys coming on here and letting the trucking industry know and letting the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show audience know that, hey, guess what, trucking community? We have people in the D.C. area right now, as we speak, that are walking the halls of Congress, that are talking to the FMCSA, that are lobbying for you, truck drivers lobbying for truck drivers. So, Lisa, what else would you like to add on or add to the news that you just broke tonight here on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show?
Well, you mentioned the ATA, and we mentioned the ATA in our meeting today, and we mentioned that they only have 30,000 members, and not one of those is a driver. We talked about they may have the money to put in your coffers, but we have the numbers of people to vote you in or out of office. We had materials presented with us today to prove every point, including that drivers are safer now than they've ever been. All we've heard for the last how many years is that we're the ones that are killing people on the road. I literally saw that on social media just a couple days ago. And it's like, absolutely, we're not. We're not. We're safer now than we've ever been, and we have the stats to prove that. So we walked into this office with materials to prove all of our points. We actually... Oh, there's so much I can't say right now. Just know this is amazing for the truck drivers, and we're here. We're established. We are stakeholders, and they will listen to us. So everybody go to the website, cdldf.org. Sign up. It's absolutely free. Get your voices heard. Let us know. We want more others to be a part of this, too. There's a few more openings. If you feel you have the talent to speak about the issues, and not only speak about the issues, but help us formulate solutions. Because in 2018, we all went to Ted Cruz's office, and he said, don't just come to me with the issues, come to us with solutions. That's what we are all doing. We are making the solutions that can help our industry. 2018, you know, my husband had a little discussion with Ray Martinez from the FMCSA, who told us at that time to get organized, that they will help, that they can deal with organizations better than they can deal with drivers. So that's what we've done over the last 2.5 years. We've organized, and we have the methods to come up with the solutions. And we want other drivers to help us with that.
Can you, before we get to next Thursday, confirm one thing for me. Have you talked to senators and congressmen?
Yes. Can't tell you who, but I can tell you we have.
And you can tell, you're going to get into that next Thursday in detail, correct?
I will list every meeting that we attended. And I can't tell you everything we discussed, simply because some of it was repeat at office after office after office. But I will tell you where we went, yes.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, basically what Lisa is saying is they have been meeting with senators and congressmen and people with the FMCSA and people that can change the trucking industry legislative-wise. And we will have them on next week to get in depth of exactly what that means. Tonight was just meant as a precursor, since they're still in D.C., to let them finish out their trip in D.C. and figure out exactly what it is and everything that they're going to be talking to us about next week, they're going to go into detail. So that's the breaking news, that there is more people now in D.C. advocating and standing up for the trucking industry on a legislative legislative-wise, let's just put it that way. So,
this is just
Chris,
a little teaser, Jeremy.
What's that?
We can only give a little teaser because Todd Dills from Overdrive is going to do the first article on our thing, on our organization. And after that article is out, we can talk about anything and everything. I promise.
And I respect that. I respect the fact that you guys gave us the opportunity on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show to let everybody know what to look forward to here in the next week. And again, go to Overdrive Magazine, what is it, Monday, you said, Lisa, and look for that article coming out about the CDLDU.
We're doing an interview on Monday.
I have agreed with Lisa and Lee, by the way, everybody, to help in the background any way I feel where I feel like I want to be involved. As you all know, I've been in the advocacy for quite some time, and I'm burnt out. I'm tired of the trucking industry being its own worst enemy and wasting my own personal dollars trying to stand up for people that don't want to stand up for themselves. So I give kudos to Lisa and Lee and the CDLDU for standing up and doing the things that we've tried to do over the years that just hasn't worked out for me and many others like me. So, but Chris, I want to bring it to Chris. Chris, do you have any questions that you want to ask Lee or Lisa while we have her on the phone?
No, I think she's pretty much covered what she can talk about tonight, but there's definitely some exciting news. I'm looking forward to hearing, as Paul Harvey would say, for all of us old folks who understand that reference, rest of the story.
There's a lot more to tell,
no,
trust me. I promise you I'll get into it next week.
Yeah, so, and Daryl, I'm going to apologize to you. I really, as much as I want to ask you, is there anything you want to ask them? There's really nothing you can ask them, and I kind of apologize to Christy too, but until we get into it next week. And next week we'll do more of a roundtable where we can all just start throwing questions out and getting some explanations and taking some live calls with Lee and Lisa. So that's the breaking news tonight, ladies and gentlemen, with the trucking industry. Next week, we will get in depth with Lisa and Lee Schmidt that are involved with CDLDU. I've heard a little bit of it. Again, I'm not at liberty to say what that is because I'm not there. So I appreciate you guys coming on, Lisa and Lee, and letting us know firsthand what's happening, what you're up to, and we look forward to next Thursday night.
Again, the website is CDLDF for CDL Drivers and Friends .org.
CDLDF.org. There you
right.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Go to CDLDF.org, sign up, it's all free, and join the organization that is trying grassroots to try to help this trucking community ease some of these ridiculous regulations and unsafe regulations. So
for every
Lisa,
driver,
thank you very
we're
much.
Hoping
what's that?
Every driver needs to get 8 of their friends to sign up. That's my challenge between now and next week.
It's all free, ladies and gentlemen. Why not? I mean, it's not like they're asking you to put $5 in a kitty. No, just all they're asking is go sign up, show that we have the numbers, and things will happen from there, I promise. So go to cdldf.org, sign up for free, tell your family, tell your friends, get over there and sign up. And Lisa, thank you so much for giving us the exclusive of what you guys are up to, and we look forward to talking to you next Thursday.
Thank you so much for letting us.
All right. Have a good night, Lisa. Totally ice it out.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, well.
All right, everybody. That was Lee and Lisa Schmidt. You can follow them on TikTok, Trucking W the Schmidts, I believe is what their TikTok is. Their Twitter is capital T, capital A, capital A, capital W, capital T, capital S, at, yeah. And Facebook, it's Trucking with the Schmidts. They're on every social media platform. They are fighting for the trucking industry right now, as we speak, in Washington, D.C. And it's only going to get better from here, folks. We're going to have them on next Thursday night to get in depth with exactly who they've talked to. And I do know most of the list, and I'm going to tell you, it's quite impressive. So we're looking forward to that. Well, whew, a lot of stuff going on there. What's your thoughts on that, Chris?
I'll be anxious to see how that goes. And, I really want to hear the rest of the info. I guess it's nice that there's at least some sort of acknowledgement that, you know, the people who actually make the industry work are indeed some sort of stakeholder in the industry.
Yeah.
What's
your thoughts on that, Daryl, that news that they're in D.C. working – advocating for the trucking industry?
It's about damn time, because, you know, I'm tired of having all these people who don't. It's about time that we have some people that know the industry, they know what they're talking about, and they're standing up for everyone, and including the independents. Because, like you said, there are certain entities out there, they said they're for independents, but they don't have one independent person on the board. All their people that's on their board is company people. The CEOs of these big companies who want to drag us independents out, because people like independents, because they know that we're a different breed, that we get our freight there like they're supposed to. But it's about time that somebody's out there, they're beginning to fight for us. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to tomorrow's show to hear what they have.
I'm looking forward to getting in depth with them also. So that's great news coming out of Lee and Lee Schmidt in Washington, D.C. And tune in next Thursday, and we'll really get in depth with that. But for now, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna move on. We're gonna move on to our next our guests, Alan and Taylor Martin. Before we do that, I want to give all of you our guest call-in number. Okay, write this down. That way, if you have any questions or you have an opinion, after we get done with Taylor and Alan Martin's story involving their daughter, Trista, you're welcome to call in. I've talked to Taylor and Alan, and they agreed that they would take live calls. But here's the stipulation. You know how I am. You know how we are. We're all about free speech. But you will not, and I repeat, you will not get on our radio show tonight and put Alan and Taylor Martin down in any way. I will block your call, and I will block your IRL from ever calling this radio show again. And the reason why is because they've gone through enough, and they don't need your criticism. They don't need your negative opinions. If you have an honest question, you are welcome to ask that. So So I'm just going to give you the fair warning first before I give you the guest call-in number, okay? And that guest call-in number is 516-387-1733. And once you call that number and you start hearing us over your phone on your phone, you're hearing the radio on the phone, just press the number 1. That lets our switchboard know that you want or you have something to say or you have a question. That's great. We will bring you on air. But, again, disrespect will not be tolerated tonight. You can disrespect me and Chris. We can handle it. And I know Alan and Taylor can, too, because I've seen some of the things that they've had to go through. But I'm not going to put them through that on our radio show because they don't deserve that. We need to get Trista's story out there in a hopefully the most positive light that we can. And, again, that phone number is 516-387-1733. And now I'm going to go right over to the phone lines. I am going to bring on Alan and Taylor Martin and welcome them to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. Alan and Taylor, thank you so much for joining us tonight. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing well. Can you hear us okay?
Yes, we can hear you just fine. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good.
So,
okay, good.
Oh, yeah, I can hear you, both of you, perfect. Awesome. So first of all, like I told you on the phone the other night when I called, or the other day when I called you, from the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, before we even get started, I want to offer you our deepest condolences on the loss of your daughter Trista. I have I've watched some of the videos over your Twitter, and what a lovely young woman, full of life, just happy-go-lucky. I feel for you so bad. It hurt my heart when I seen those videos, and then I, you know, read some of the things that you wrote. Walk us through what happened with your daughter Trista back in November.
November 8th, she went to stay the night with her older sister and one of their friends. They had a little sleepover, and you know, stayed up and did girly stuff all night, watched movies, played games, took selfies. And then they went to bed. And the next morning, Trista woke up at about 8 o'clock in the morning. And she said that she was having some trouble breathing and that her entire body hurt. And Trista was She's a pretty tough kid, and she didn't really complain very often. So she said, "I'm gonna go lay back down and see if I can feel better." And so she did, and her sister went to go check on her about 10 minutes later and could not get her to wake up. So they gave me a call, and I rushed over there, and I found that she was not breathing. Couldn't find a pulse and started CPR and called 911. And the ambulance drivers and fire department all came and they worked on her for a really long time there and had a lot of trouble getting her heart restarted, but finally did and got her to the hospital. And
they pronounced her dead in Tulsa, correct? Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Yes. Yes, Tulsa, Oklahoma,
okay.
At St. Francis Hospital.
And how many days before that all happened did she take the Pfizer vaccine?
112.
It was 112 days.
112. And prior to her taking that Pfizer vaccine, and we're going to get into this a little bit deeper here in a second, but prior to her taking that vaccine, it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, you warned your daughter of the dangers of the COVID-19 vaccine. Is that correct, or am I wrong on that?
Well, we had discussed with all of the kids and amongst ourselves, just as a family, we didn't like the initial rollout. We're not really like an anti-vax family. We've, you know, the kids have their measles and mumps and all that stuff. But but the way this one was rushed and the way that it, the way that the actual virus was explained to us and the general public, that it affected the elderly mostly, it affected people with comorbidities, young people. To them, it was pretty much just a cold. And so we said we didn't really see a reason why they should risk this. There's no long-term data on it. And so we said we really don't think that they should get it. We're not going to get it. We're not going to be okay with them getting it. You know, at the time when this first came out, she was, of course, was under 18. And our son was also, he's 14. And so we decided we weren't going to get it, just, again, because of the no long-term data. And, you know, every other commercial on television is a lawsuit for some, you know, death or injury caused by another medication that's been, you know, recently released and then found out it caused cancer or whatever. So, I mean, it just, you know, already kind of a lack of trust with the pharmaceutical companies.
Right. And when she did get it, did you know that she went and got it? Or, I mean, might be a different story. Oh, you weren't aware?
No, she actually went on July 20th. She went to a different doctor than our normal general practitioner, and we're assuming now that she did that because she didn't want us to be able to find out that she had gotten the shot. But that day, she also got some blood work done, and everything came back great. You know, she's in perfect health. She did tell us about the blood work. She just did not tell us about the thing that she got and asked her friends not to tell us.
Okay. So it's my understanding also, I read, you know, so I dug back into some of your posts and stuff. It sounds like you guys have done a bit of research on vaccines and the certain batch that Trista actually took. Alan or Taylor, whichever one, would you guys like to get into that just briefly to educate our audience of what you found out?
Well, after we were told that she got the vaccine by one of her friends while she was in the hospital in the emergency room. Her friend told us, you know, hey, I think this is probably the appropriate time to tell you that she got the vaccine and didn't want us to say anything to you guys. And at first we just kind of dismissed it. We thought, well, I mean, you know, what's done is done. Yeah, it's not, we really didn't even really correlate the two. It wasn't until a week and a half after she passed, we had finished with the service and the memorial and all of that. And Taylor, just unbeknownst to me, and then myself, unbeknownst to Taylor, we were both kind of just researching the symptoms and everything that the doctors had told us that she had. While we were in the emergency room, the doctors told us that she had, that her heart was swollen. She had multiple system organ failure. Her blood glucose level was 610, and though she had no history of diabetes, her toxicology came back clean, and she tested negative for COVID. So they didn't have any idea what was causing this problem, but the doctor said he gave her about, he said in situations like this, we give her about a 1% chance. And, of course, I said, in situations like what? What is this? And they couldn't tell us. The medical examiner's report in full is not going to be done probably for another 3 or 4 months, they said. A total of 6 months from her date of death. But in the meantime, we've been doing some of our own research, and one of the very first things that I found was an NIH.gov study about what they call VIHG, which is vaccine-induced hyperglycemia. And it, specifically, there was a study done early on because a lot of the doctors had noticed that in both non-diabetic and diabetic patients, the mRNA vaccine was causing an unusual hyperglycemic effect in some of the patients, meaning that their blood sugar was going high for an unknown reason. So they recommended, basically the synopsis of the study recommended that they closely observe all of the patients who get this vaccine. And I don't know about you, but I was, you know, I've never heard of anybody being, you know, having their blood glucose closely observed after getting the shot. I mean, they were giving this thing, you know, everywhere, you know, at Walgreens and pharmacies and malls, you know, and enticing children with pizza and ice cream.
And you go to McDonald's and get a free Happy Meal for a free vaccine. You know, they treated it like it was a frickin' circus. And Chris, let me ask my co-host Chris. Chris, so far into the story, what are your observations? And do you have any questions before they continue? I want to make sure that we cover all angles of this. Chris, go ahead.
I guess the thing that gets me is, how are these underage minors able to do this? I don't know. That bothers me because they're getting these children.
Yeah. Well, and at the time, Trista was 18. She had just recently turned 18, but they were allowing children like 12 and over, I think.
I know. And in Canada, they don't need 12 and over. They don't need permission from a parent, I believe, in Canada. I'm not certain about several states in the United States, but I think there might have been some states that were allowing it as well. But she had just recently turned 18, and she wanted to go to a different general practitioner. She said she didn't like our general practitioner, and she wanted a different one. And that's the reason why we thought she went to a different doctor. We said, okay, fine. You can go whatever doctor you want. You know, you're 18. We didn't know that she was going because she was worried that we were going to find out that she got the shot.
Before we continue, I want to let you guys know that there is we have like a 1 or 2 second delay on here, so it sounds like we're trying to interrupt you, but we're definitely not trying to do that. It's the curse of our radio show. But before we continue, I do see that we have a caller, and I like to bring the callers on while we're discussing this because it adds questions and stuff that maybe I didn't think about, or Chris didn't think about, or Daryl didn't think about, and you know. Just a different perspective. So let me just bring this caller on, see what they have for a question or a comment, and let's just see what caller 6741. You are on the air live with Alan and Taylor Martin. Did you have something that you would like to add to this conversation?
Well, I actually came on about Lisa and Lee, but I just want to give my condolences to you. It's a horrible thing that happened to your family, and I wouldn't wish that on anyone. And yeah, I forgot to take myself out of the cube area earlier.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem. Lee and Lisa are off the line now. Regarding that, I would suggest that you call back in next Thursday. They will be on air for a good majority of the show. We'll get in depth of what they were talking about. But we do appreciate your call, certainly do, and thank you for calling in. Okay. That'll happen. We get, people that are wanting to discuss something that we discussed earlier, and that's perfectly fine. But let's continue on with you, Alan and Taylor. What batch of vaccines did she take? And what did you find out about that certain batch?
Well, during the research, we did find her, after she passed, go into her purse. We found the vaccination card. So we were able to get her specific batch number. And it was Pfizer BioNTech batch FN, as in Frank, November, 2908. So we found a website that pulls its information directly from VAERS, which VAERS is Vaccine Adverse Reactions. It's a V-A-E-R-S. It's where you go, doctors go, and people can go to report adverse events from vaccination injuries, things like that. So we put in her batch number, and we discovered that that particular batch is already associated with 7 other deaths.
And 505 adverse reactions.
Yeah, at the time that we looked it up.
Which was over a month ago.
And it's still active, meaning that you can go right now to the same doctor's office that our daughter went to and get that exact same shot.
Still to this day.
Yes.
Yeah. Which we did call the doctor's office and make them aware of everything, and so that they know.
Yeah. So they didn't seem too impressed, but we told them and we did what we could do. But no, so the research that we found and that we did led us to a lot of the information as far as the lipid nanoparticles, the spike proteins, the causation behind myocarditis, which she had, how it attacks multiple systems within the body, and in the way that there's still people, like, for instance, there is a wonderful lady named Stephanie DeGary. Yeah, she's from Ohio, and she put her daughter into the original trials for Pfizer, BioNTech, her 12-year-old, Maddie. And Maddie was promised that if anything went wrong, Pfizer would pay for all of the medical bills. And Stephanie thought, great, my daughter's going to be protected before, you know, everybody else even has an opportunity to be protected. And so long story short, Maddie is now confined to a wheelchair, and she has to eat through a tube. And if you look at the Pfizer trial data with Maddie DeGary, it says that her adverse event reaction was an upset stomach.
And they removed her from the trials.
They removed her from the trials.
Totally abandoned them.
Right. And they haven't paid a single penny to cover any of the costs for Maddie's now lifelong injury.
Which Stephanie now
feels, and that's par for the course with Big Pharma. Big Pharma. Ladies and gentlemen, I've done enough research, and I guarantee you Alan and Taylor have done more research in the last 3-4 months than a lot of – they'll forget more than you ever will even know. I can guarantee you that. When you lose a child as such as they have, you don't quit until your child gets justice. And that's what I see Alan and Taylor doing now, and I'm happy – to pick up and share her hashtag out on my Twitter accounts or my TikTok or any social media accounts.
Thank you.
Trista deserves that. Answers for Sean, hashtag answers with the number 4, S-E-A-N, answers for Sean from Canada is another one.
Oh, yeah.
That I've talked to his
Dan
father.
Hartman.
And, yeah, hockey player. What they've done to what they've done to this world is unacceptable, to say the very least. Let's go into kind of a round table, if you guys don't mind, because I would like to get Chris and Daryl's opinion on some of the things that we're about to talk about, and I really, truly want to get your opinions on it. And I want to start off with and I'll go to you, Alan and Taylor, first after I mention this, and then we'll move on to Chris and Daryl. But you guys are both aware of the Project Veritas video with James O'Keefe and the Pfizer executive, or whatever you want to call him, talking about creating variants so they have a cash cow for vaccines, not caring about what they do to other people's, you know, lives, basically. What is your thoughts on when you've seen that Project Veritas video, and then we'll move to Chris and Daryl.
Initially, after doing all this research for the last couple of months and learning about specifically what the current board member, Scott Gottlieb, he's a former FDA commissioner. He now sits on the board of directors for Pfizer. And then, of course, you know, Albert Bourla, everybody knows him. These are absolute scum people. So to hear this person you know, make the claims that he made and to say the things that he stated, I wasn't surprised at all.
Not even
one bit. It wasn't surprising. In fact, I expected worse. I mean, if there could be worse,
yeah.
I expected the, which I think that Project Veritas just dumped some more files today where they were talking about it affecting the fertility in women and things like that. And they were well aware of that happening and they've been covering it up. And so it should be shocking to me, I think, but now that I know that they killed Sean Hartman, they've killed my daughter, they've killed Ernesto Ramirez, they killed Caitlin Goetze, they've permanently injured
countless
others, Maddie DeGarry and thousands of other people, and they just don't care.
And they try and suppress it so no one else hears about it. So absolutely nothing that they do surprises us.
And you're right, Taylor, because as a matter of fact, I've been banned off of multiple social media platforms in the last year and a half, 2 years, for speaking out against remdesivir and speaking out against these vaccines. And you know what?
Yes.
I don't care if I have to restart a social media platform 82 times, 82,000 times, 82 million times, as long as one
right.
person got that warning and received that warning and I prevented them from you know, going through what a lot of you have gone through. Chris, let's go to you. What's your thoughts on that Project Veritas and the story we're hearing here tonight with Alan and Taylor?
These people are pure evil. Just the new Nazi party. They're killing children. They're killing the elderly. They're killing off the weak. And they're making a profit off of it. And they're silencing anyone that knows so that they can just keep their cash cow going. My condolences to you, to the both of you. It's a horrible thing. And I commend you on your restraint and doing what needs to be done and fighting to get this information out there and in the light. If it were my child, I'm not going to say, but
I can't say either, but I have a wife and I have a 14-year-old son that still depends on me. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, so I commend you on that restraint and your ability to focus on those that are still here and to not let your emotions get the best of you. That's some real dad shit right there. So
I can't second that enough from what Chris just said. Daryl, I'll just go into a rambling, you know, I'll start sounding like Joe Biden if I continue. So, Daryl, just go ahead and give your thoughts on what did you think about the Project Veritas video exposing Pfizer for what they are and, you know, what Alan and Taylor are going through regarding their daughter, Trista?
I'm coming up to the Colorado board. I'm pulling over. Number one, my condolences to the families and also condolences to every last one of those people that they were telling me, that they were telling us about, and that young lady that's stuck in the wheelchair. I'm so freaking pissed. These people are freaking evil. And this is what pisses me off, is that we got these congressmen and all that. They're getting paid by Pfizer, and no one wants to stand up and say, hey, this is what's going on. But yet we got these stupid commercials out here saying, oh, come get the shot. Oh, la, 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 and making it seem like everything is all fine and happy, but no one wants to tell the truth about exactly what's going on. And we got people that are congressmen and our president, they're being paid off by the big pharma because now big pharma, who's supposed to be there for our health, is now there. You know what? They just proved we don't care about your health. What we want is money, money, money. And we got to kill you so we can get your money, that's what we're going to do. And if it shows that we're killing you, we're going to do our best to hide it. And I'm pissed because these people that we put up in office, no one has the freaking guts to stand up and says, you know what? We are now going to hold your butts responsible. This is not a vaccine, people. I am not an anti-vaxxer.
Vaccines are things that freaking work. The man who came up with this even said, this is not a vaccine, it's a therapy drug. So I don't know why all you other people are sitting back and acting like you don't understand what's going on when we got people out here that are affected by this, and then you had the nerve for Pfizer to sit up here and tell this little girl, we will take care of you, everything will be fine, and they lied to her. She's in a freaking wheelchair with a feeding tube, and they just disregarded the family. That tells you how evil these people are. There are people coming that is going to stand up to these people because I'm freaking pissed off. It's just sickening that we have people like that.
Well, I like you a whole lot.
There's no doubt about it. We're all pissed off. And I'm going to tell you guys, so we're going to get into what the media did involving the vaccine. Before we do that, let me tell you guys what the guest caller number is, in case that we do have a caller that wants to get on, Canadian Reaper, and we will bring you on here shortly. But I do want to tell you what the guest caller number is. Again, repeat that. And that guest caller number, ladies and gentlemen, is 516-387-1733. And when you call in, you dial that number, and you can hear us over your phone. Just press the number one on your phone. That raises a hand on our switchboard, lets us know that you have something to say. And we will bring you on live and uncensored. We have a couple callers now. Live and uncensored with Alan and Taylor Martin, who sadly lost their daughter, Trissa, to the Pfizer vaccine. And we'll continue this roundtable. Let's go to our callers first. Canadian Reaper, I am going to bring you on air first. Canadian Reaper, you are on air, live and uncensored, the Disrespected Trucker radio show with Alan and Taylor Martin. What would you like to bring to the conversation tonight?
Well, a good evening to everybody, and thanks for having me on. I just want to say, Alan and Taylor, you have my deepest condolences. I can't express that enough. I missed a little bit of the show there when I was talking to Kim, but I do have one question, which, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you, and hopefully you can sort of like fill me in a little bit on of background for what happened on the night that she was at her stayover. That question in itself is, you said that she was doing a lot of selfies and playing their games and doing their normal girly thing. But I do have the one curious question as to, in the 112 days since her jab, was she surrounded a lot by different radio waves other than her cell phone, as opposed or compared to the night that she was at her sister's?
No.
No, I don't think so. She was a hard worker, and she that particular night was kind of out of the ordinary for her, being that
she wasn't working.
Yeah, she wasn't. She was off work. She was 18, but she had the same job for a year and a half. She was just recently promoted to a manager, and so she was making really good money for being an 18-year-old. And so she worked about a tenth of a mile away from our home. So the vast majority of her time was spent within the same tenth of a mile block. I mean, you know, here where we live. So that's where the most of her time was spent.
Yeah. So no, she wasn't around anything crazy or anything like that.
Well, thanks for that. The only reason why I ask is because I've paid a lot of attention to how certain people who've been jabbed have their effects are more, they seem to be more like they happen almost instantaneously within being around certain types of frequencies. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying, please.
I think I understand what you're saying. I think younger people, specifically with the research that I've done, a lot of the explanation to why it's so many of these young people that are dying, because their immune systems are more robust than an older person. So if you're, you know, past the age of 50, you just aren't going to produce the flood of spike protein that a young, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18 year old, you know, kid is going to. So like if you look at Sean Hartman, Dan's son, his was 33 days, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, 33 days from the day that he got his vaccine to the day that Dan found him lifeless on the floor beside his bed. And then there's Ernesto, which I think was 5 days. Mm-hmm. So I can't really find a rhyme or a reason as far as how quickly or how not quickly it happens.
It depends on the person and the batch that they got.
Yeah, I think that's a big factor.
Because this is still – everybody's still test subjects.
Yeah.
All these batches are different because they're still testing. They don't know They don't know what really is going to work right. So they are just throwing it all out there, and the American public just thinks that they're getting a vaccine, and really you're being guinea pig.
Yeah, what people don't understand is even Dr. Robert Malone, the creator of the mRNA technology. I was going to say vaccine, but it's not. It's a technology. He's even admitted in a Senate hearing that this is a gene therapy technology. And they don't know what the long-term side effects are of these of these jabs. They simply don't know. That's where I want to go into next. Canadian Reaper, before I go, thank you for your call and your questions. I appreciate that, sir.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on, Jeremy. And by the way, if you get a chance, I want you to check into a couple of your comments there, because you're going to find something very interesting in regards to these eggs lately. Taylor, my deepest condolences. And I just want to make one more final comment there to Chris. As for the children up here in Canada at the age of 12, you're absolutely 100% right on. And the thing is, they changed the regulations up here so they can they've been pushing it into the schools so that the children at the age of 12 can do it inside the school without the parents' consent and without the parents' knowledge. So we'll just leave it at that, because God only knows we got to wake more people up. And I wish everybody a good night, and thanks again, Jeremy, for having me on.
Now, I want to get into
Hello?
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 Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? I wonder what happened.
I'm not sure. We're still on the call.
I think we
lost Jeremy.
I think we lost Jeremy.
I'm not sure what happened.
Yeah, it looks like we lost Jeremy.
Oh, there's Jeremy.
Yeah, I'm back on. Sorry.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, my call dropped. I don't know what happened there, but I wanted to get into our next segment, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry about that again. Technical difficulties, I guess. I wanted to talk to start the next roundtable about what influence the media had on your daughter Trista and on the rest of this nation, and frankly, everybody. Their gaslighting, their little skits that they did with musicals and you know, unvaccinated or evil, they don't care about people, you know, all that stuff. What did you, Alan and Taylor, what did you guys see regarding the media? And do you think that had any bearing on your daughter Trista's choice to go get vaccinated without you guys knowing.
I think that had every bearing on it, actually. You know, you can't turn on Spotify, which she lived on. She loved music. Or Hulu or the radio in your car without hearing, you know, the safe and effective narrative that they've got going. All the celebrities saying stuff. I mean, people just coming out and saying awful things, too, that if you're not vaccinated, just, you know, terrible things about them. And their whole campaign that they had running for a while that was, you know, do it for grandma and grandpa, you know, protect them, which we all know now it does not do that. It doesn't stop the spread. So that was false all on its own. She wanted to, you know, go to concerts. She was getting ready to start college. She wanted to travel. And she, I'm sure, you know, which her friends have told us, you know, she felt like if she had this vax card that it was kind of like a, you know, get in anywhere card. She wouldn't be hassled. She wouldn't be looked down on. She wouldn't be, you know, bullied. And I think that had every bearing on why she got the shot.
And when you're 16, 17, 18 years old, let's be honest, your parents are the dumbest people on the face of the planet. You know, when you're 5, your parents are superheroes. It's not until you're, you know, 25 or 26 that you start to realize your parents really aren't that dumb and they were probably right about a lot of stuff. Well, she was, I believe, right at that age. She wanted her own doctor. She wanted to come into her own. She didn't want the politics and religion of her parents. And so in her eyes,
18-year-old does.
Yeah. So I think in her eyes, we were wrong. The media was right. And it cost her life.
I mean, cause the only thing she heard negative about it was from her parents, from us.
Right.
Everything else was, you know, censored and not shown in any platforms. They weren't making, you know, commercials about anything that could go wrong. They're just saying all the positive things that they wanted to be true, which aren't even true.
You know,
several of her friends
about that, Taylor and Alan, is I just seen something on Twitter the other day. I think I may have reposted it or not. I don't remember, but there was an article written, and I can't remember where it was written, but it said the unvaccinated knew. Why didn't they do more to warn us? They are guilty.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, you son of a bitches. You son of a bitches. You silenced us on social media. You called us every name in the book throughout this process for warning you. And now when the truth is coming out and you can't hide it anymore, now you want to point your finger at the ones that you silenced. I thought, wow, that's a new low for everything. But, you know, Chris, what's your thoughts on media influence of what has happened in the last couple of years?
Criminal. They need to be tried as war criminals.
Nuremberg.
Yeah.
Like under the Nuremberg Code kind of war criminals?
I think
yep.
so.
That's kind of where I'm at. And yet still today, we still see social media influencers pushing the shot. Hell, Joe Biden and his goofy-ass wife are still pushing the shot. And what bothers me the most, ladies and gentlemen, is that we have 100 senators, we have over 400 congresspeople, and it's still bipartisan voting on whether or not we should, you know, end the emergency orders. When we did the People's Convoy, the whole point of that was to end that Emergency Powers Act. And now it came out yesterday or the day before that Joe Biden said, I'll end it May 11th. Why May 11th?
Yeah.
What are we waiting for? What's going on May 11th? Is there going to be a full moon? I mean, end it now. It should have been ended 6 months. It should have never happened to begin with, honestly. But it just bothers me. But, Daryl, we do have another caller, but I want to get to Daryl's thoughts on what he thinks of, you know, the media influence involving these vaccines.
You try to take my joy from dang on Joe Biden, but anyway, Joe Biden, he is no leader. There's no way we should be under any COVID anything. And there should be – they want to do inquiries about everything. They need to go ahead and do inquiries on Pfizer and arrest these people. Why all of a sudden you cannot sue them for having any adverse effect. This is bullshit. And the social media, I'm sick and tired of these lying assholes. And I'm sorry, that's how I'm going to say it, because somebody needs to be real about this. They have no accountability for nothing. And like you mentioned, Jeremy, how dare they sit back and say, well, how come the unvaccinated didn't warn you? Oh, we've been trying to tell you this mess since day one, and you didn't want to hear it because you have someone saying up here, well, the vaccine is fine, and you have these stupid commercials, and you have these people that pisses me off where they have the lady who is going for justice for women in the workplace, and you have them doing the same thing, saying, oh, I got bashed, and making these stupid videos. But not one of these social media people or anyone had enough nerve to come and say, hey, wait a minute. There's a lot of adverse effects going on. We have athletes dying. We have young people dying. And guess what? It didn't do like it said it does. It's supposed to stop the spread. Oops, it's not. None of them have any responsibilities, because we have people that are in Congress, including our damn leadership, that doesn't have enough nerve to stand up and say, oops, we messed up. You know what? It's time to start holding people responsible. And all you people that had people that died, had people that got adverse effects from this, we need to start taking care of you. We need to have more people to start standing up, because I'm sick and tired of these assholes and all these people that are not responsible for any damn thing and been lying to us. Now they want to turn around and say, well, how come no one warned us? And the people up in Canada, I hope y'all stand up to this Trudeau dipshit, because there is no reason why you sit back and say, well, you need a parent to say, to go ahead and sign you up for a driver's license, to do this, that, and the other thing. But all of a sudden for this, I ain't going to call it this shot, all of a sudden we don't need a parent. We don't need a parent at all. We just go ahead and shove it on your kid? Bullshit. So I'm glad we're beginning to start fighting. We got to keep the fight up and put these people in their place. And hopefully these people that we vote in office, that they decided to get off their butts and quit taking money from Pfizer and say, you know what, we don't need your money. We're going to start standing up for the American people, because that's who they are
exactly.
supposed to be fighting for, is for us. So that's
exactly.
why I'm glad we have this radio station.
And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, excuse me, those of you that are listening, Colorado, you missed out. Daryl was running for lieutenant governor, and you guys didn't vote for him. And this is the fashion that you guys voted out, because you had to vote for your Democrat or your Republican party. And it's a point I want to bring up before I bring Timothy on. America has lost its way. They've fallen for the trap from the mainstream media that you have to vote for a Democrat or Republican, because if you don't, vote for your party. If you vote for somebody that you like that's not associated with either party, you're going to, you know, let the other party in. It's a psyop that they've done for many, many years, and we've all fallen for it. I'm guilty of it myself, except for this last cycle. But that's beside the point. Timothy, I'm going to bring you on the air, and let's see what you have to add to this conversation with Taylor and Alan Martin. Timothy, you are live on air and uncensored on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. Welcome to the show, and what would you like to add to the conversation?
Hey, guys, good evening. First of all, condolences for the loss of your daughter. And the other thing is, you know, I have a daughter. She's just turning 21 this month, and she has absolutely refused to get the vaccine. And I sat down with her here a while back, and I asked her, I said, why didn't you want to get the vaccine? And she says, well, she says, we had some people at work. She works at a beef packing plant there where I live in Hereford, Texas. And, you know, she had some people that she worked with that died right after that. And, you know, nobody's ever explained it. And she says, no, I've seen too many things going on, and I'm not taking it. And The other point is my wife and I both were pressured into taking it, and it took us a while to decide. And I made the decision to take the vaccine. Fortunately, I haven't had any adverse reactions. But my father, in all your research, I know you mostly research young people, but my father, my God, the problems that we've had with him is just, he has developed so many neurological problems, tremors, can't stand up straight, nothing. And I have talked to doctors and we have done some research, my older sister and I, and it's, we're convinced that it's all vaccine related. We're dealing with 7 different doctors and none of them will come close to admitting anything except, well, yeah, it may be. But that's as close as we can get them to admit to anything. And
that,
in your,
that's, go ahead.
That's what I was wanting to know. In your research, what have you found on anything like that?
We have actually found some of that. There's a lot of neurological issues that come from this and the reason for it.
In the studies that I've done, I've actually found a I'll see if I can find it again and maybe post it on Twitter. But there's a condition called myelitis, which is inflammation of spinal cord, and also it causes damage to the imagine that your nerves are wires, and the sheathing on the outside of the wire is called myelin. And one of the adverse events that's associated with the mRNA shot is that it causes the body to attack that myelin, and that's been studied and proven. So if they could, they do have tests for that. So I would say if you could get your dad tested for myelitis, that could probably explain a lot of the conditions that he's having. Also, one of the things in some of the older people, recently the other day I just read a study that it's been attributed to AFib, atrial fibrillation. That's a very
common.
Well,
that's weird you say that because he's been diagnosed with that also.
Yeah.
Yep.
So myelitis and AFib is the I think two of the biggest adverse reactions that have been associated with it in older or elderly people. I hope I was able to help some.
Yeah.
We have had him in the hospital 5 times and he finally said, I'm not going to the damn doctor no more. I'm not going to the freaking hospital. And I quit letting him call the ambulance. He is getting to where he's fallen all the time. My sister is there full time taking care of him. We've got nurses, and none of them will admit, and she started doing some research and then forwarding that information to me and go, hey, Janice, this is what it is. I know that's what it is. It's related to this. And but we cannot get any medical doctors. Now, you said that was called myelitis?
Myelitis, yes. M-Y, okay. Let me look it up. I make sure I don't spell it wrong for you.
I'm going to write it down.
M-Y-E-L-I-T-I-S.
Okay. I'm going to have her. We got one doctor I think we can trust that will actually follow through with it.
And, the AFib is also treatable. Both of those conditions are very well treatable. My own father, he was recently diagnosed with AFib too, and he is also got the shots and the boosters. He's had 4 of those shots, and he's been recently diagnosed with AFib. So I have actually spent a little time looking at it. Now, he doesn't have any other of the neurological problems so far. The AFib is the only thing, but they have a treatment that they can do called ablation, which is, basically, they burn part of your heart. They go in.
My son actually has had that done. He did not get vaccinated. He was born with a heart condition. But they went through his vein and his groin all the way up through to his heart, and they actually burned the nerve endings in your heart. There are treatments for stuff like that. But Timothy, I appreciate you calling in, but we have to move the show on. Thank you for your call. And let me just say, from the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, our prayers are with you and your father and your family. And I hope no more damage is done. And that they can figure out what's going on. So thank you, Timothy.
Well, I appreciate it, Jeremy. I'll see you on TikTok. You see me on there.
Yeah, yes, sir. All right, man. Thank you very much.
All right, man.
All right, everybody. That was Timothy from Texas. I've actually delivered cattle in Hereford, Texas, back when I did my cattle hauling days. But anyway, we're gonna move on with the show. I want to thank our guests, Alan and Taylor Martin. Let me just say that I really, truly hope with all of our speaking out and our advocacy, we can finally bring some justice to your loved one, Trista, Sean, and many others like him and her. We have to keep on until we get justice for them. They deserve that. And so do you folks, because you have to live with this. And I can't tell you how sorry I am that you have to live this every single day. But I can rest assured that I will fight. I will continue to do whatever I can to be Trista's voice and Sean's voice and everybody else's voice as much as I possibly can. I promise you that. But Alan and Taylor, thank you so much for joining us tonight and sharing Trista's story and your story. And you know that I'll pray for you. And God bless you, folks. And, again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
All right. You guys have a great night. God bless you. Okay, I mean that wholeheartedly. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Alan and Taylor Martin. Their daughter Trista, unfortunately and sadly, passed away 112 days after she received the Pfizer vaccine. Here's the thing we need. I want to get into before we kind of me and Chris and Daryl do our thing. This show is about our thoughts and our opinions. If you don't think they're facts, they may not be. It's up to you to go research. We're not here to tell you, because we think one thing, that it's 110% factual. We're here to lead you in a direction. We've said this a million times, and I'll say it a million more. I'm not trying to discredit Alan and Taylor by any means. As a matter of fact, I happen to agree with them, and I've been screaming from the mountaintops for a long time. But that, just because everything that I've observed and went through, it doesn't necessarily make it fact, but it kind of does based off of what I know. But anyway, I got to put that little disclaimer out there anyway. Otherwise, I'll get sued for the one kitchen table chair that I have left. I don't know, Chris. What's your thoughts of the whole story with Trista and Sean and numerous others that have been injured or have died as a result of these vaccines, these COVID-19 vaccines? What's your thoughts?
Horribly tragic. Just, man, upsetting, extremely upsetting that this is happening and that so few of us have the clear vision to see what's happening. Sometimes it feels like you got a bunch of people standing on the tracks and there's a train coming and they're not looking at the train and you're trying to scream at them, there's a train coming, get off the tracks, and they don't hear you. I just, man, it's frustrating.
Yeah, I'm almost at a loss for words, which that doesn't happen with me very often because I'm kind of a motor mouth. But, when I really started noticing the red flags and there's something gravely wrong with what is going on was when they started offering free hamburgers and free Happy Meals and free lotteries. And when in history have they had to offer or bribe you into taking something that's going to save your life? Never. That's the answer. It's never. The media, and when this all comes to light, which I hope is in the very near future, they need to be held accountable. And I want them to be held accountable just like they were in the Nuremberg trials. I want media. I want doctors. I want nurses. I want healthcare workers. I want social media influencers now. That it wasn't a thing back then, but it is now. I want them all. I want them all to be hanging from the gallows. If that sounds a little crude to you folks, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. They deserve everything that gets handed down to them according to the Nuremberg Code. And I know it's, oh, my God, Jeremy, you're going off the rails here. No, I'm not. There's families out there, the Martins, that lost their daughter at the young age of 18. I've watched videos of that young woman, a beautiful young woman, full of life, full of hope, just wanted to live life, and you coerced her. You coerced her and forced her into taking a vaccine based off your propaganda and your gaslighting. And now what? Now what? Are you happy? Are you happy you made your $250 or your $1,000 off of one patient, you pieces of shit? I really hope that none of you that are involved in this ever sleep a peaceful night for the rest of your fucking lives. Excuse my language. And honestly, I hope each and every one of you can't make it to the bathroom before you shit yourself for the rest of your lives also. You deserve to live a miserable, miserable life for what you've done to people. If it sounds like I'm pissed, I'm beyond pissed. So I'm just going to throw it over to Daryl. Daryl, why don't you give us your thoughts and your opinion on what you think about all this? Because I'm so ramped up right now, so pissed off, and I have been for a long time, but I need to take a cooling off period, I think. I need to take a time out. Well, Daryl, go ahead, brother.
You talking about pissed? I was pissed from day one when they started this bullshit. You know, okay, I'm gonna say, and thanks for letting people understand that I was running for lieutenant governor. If I would have made lieutenant governor, Danielle would have made governor, we would not be under any COVID, nothing. And then I would be trying my hardest to get people together so we can start suing some people who didn't make these people responsible for what the hell happened. All the, you got doctors that want to say something, but they can't. Why? Because you got these damn hospital administrators that say, well, we're going to go ahead and get you fired so you cannot work anywhere. I want to go after them. I want to go after Pfizer. I want to go after all these people. When they first started this, what alerted me was how fast they had this shot, how fast they developed it, and then they make it seem like this is a great thing. You have never seen a commercial or any commercial or people gaslight and say, oh, please take this. Please, you know, if you take this, you're going to be different than everybody else. And they're trying to do the social media, and they basically what they did, they bullied people into taking and believing in this crap. And then they use other people, what made it so bad, to bully people into taking it. And then people who said, I am not putting that shit in my body, then now we have these other people to bully the people who had enough guts to say, I'm not doing this. And like you said, yes, I hope all of you guys pay for it. I hope every last one of you that sat back and you tortured all these people that's trying to tell the truth about it, I hope that you cannot sleep at night because you were freaking wrong. And a lot of you people need to get off your damn ego and just say, you know what? I messed up. Let's start looking at this. Because you got parents, I'm going to say this again, you got parents that hear all of these warnings. They want to go ahead and put this mess in their kids' bodies. We have people who will not stand up to the teachers' union and all these teachers who says, you know what, parents? We know more than you. Bring your kids to our school, and we're going to do what the hell we want with your kids. But yet, we don't have anybody who has enough guts to stand up and say, you know what, teachers in the school, this is what we're going to do for now on. Parents are going to be involved, and you're no longer going to sit back and act like you're the parents because that's not your damn job. Yeah, people, Chris, I'm fucking pissed. And
right, Chris, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a lot of white supremacy coming out of Daryl.
You know what?
Fucking crazy, man. You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
Because you know what? Because, because people, I want y'all to understand. This, yes, I am black. I am not, and I will not. Let
You're
the
black?
Democratic Party with their dumb poison. I am, no, I'm brown.
Wait, whoa. What? You're black?
Yeah.
Who the hell invited you on this show?
I know. I
You're racist.
I told y'all. call me a racist for a man who wants to stand up.
You
got to
look at it this way,
right.
Okay? You just got to look at it. That's all you can do anymore.
Yeah, just look at the black guy over there trying to defend his white supremacy.
If that's what you want to call it, then go ahead and call it that. Because, like y'all said, you can dress up, you can put a skirt, a wig, and high heels on a pig. Guess what? It's still a damn pig.
Why are you so hostile? Hey, I got a new soundbite for you, Daryl.
Heck yeah. We go ahead, Weezy. Thomas Jefferson, Weezy. Heck, I love that show. Hey, put on Good Times.
Listen, we had to lighten the show up a little bit. I mean, we started with Lee and Lisa Schmidt, and we moved to Alan and Taylor Martin, and that's a horrible story. It's a sad story. I definitely feel for him. We all feel for him, and which is why I will continue to fight. I will any way I can be their voice for them and Sean and anybody else. You damn right I'm gonna. You know, when I went up to the Capitol in St. Paul and stood with the healthcare workers against the mandates, I think it was January 28th. It was like 3 or 4 months later when Ottawa started up in Canada, and I started my own slow roll up to Canada from Fargo, North Dakota to Pembina, North Dakota. I have used any means possible to stand up for the voiceless, to be the voice for the voiceless, and I will continue to do that. But, you know, we can be serious on the show, which is great, and it needs to, the voices need to, people's stories need to come out. But we also need to laugh. We have to remember that we have to laugh, because if we don't laugh, there was a long time I didn't laugh, ladies and gentlemen, and it affected me bad. And, you know, since we have, you know,
who's a good boy? Who's a good boy?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wait a minute. Disclaimer for all you guys that are so racially sensitive, you may not want to listen to us because you're going to get offended. And guess what? We don't give a shit.
Chris, don't we have like a Tarzan soundbite somewhere?
Oh. You Tarzan, you Jane.
Jesus Christ, we went from, man, that's a touching story to, holy shit, you guys are fucking racist.
You know, this is one way. This is one way to combat the winter weather, because the snowflakes out there right now are just eating up and getting fiery. I can hear
you. Hey, you know, speaking of snowflakes, did you guys see that MSNBC or the CBC or CBN or ABC, whatever the fuck news is? Did you guys see that where they were deciphering what snowflake meant or different – slang terms, they describe snowflake as a person of color. No shit.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
They really did
that. You talking about a white fluffy thing that falls from the clouds, and they're saying it's another, they're trying to say it's a, like a black person? Wait, that's a snowflake.
Yeah,
it's
that's
white.
Racist, man.
It's white. It's a snowflake. It's white. God made it that way for a reason, because he wanted it,
Chris,
that way.
See what he's doing here? Reverse psychology. He's being a racist. Like, what do we have, Al Sharpton on here or what?
Oh, Al Sharpton ain't got shit on me.
Yeah.
I'll make Al Sharpton cry. You heard that, Al Sharpton? I'm coming for you, buddy.
Hey, I don't know, man. Daryl, I just want you to know that if you vote for Trump, you're not black.
If you vote for Trump, you are black. If you vote for Biden, you know what? I didn't vote for Biden. Guess what? I'm still black. I'm not as black as Wesley Snipes, but I'm still black. The hell with Biden. And all you black folks that, and all you black folks that voted for Biden, guess what? What have you, as Janet Jackson would say, what have you done for you lately? I'll tell you, not a damn thing.
Hey,
but ask the people that
while we're speaking of race and all that shit, I want to bring up something. So did you guys hear the rumor coming out of Tennessee, those five black cops that beat that black guy?
Yeah.
You guys seen that, right? I mean, they beat the shit out of that kid. I mean, he didn't deserve that. But did you hear that guy that they beat the shit out of was actually having sex with one of those cops' ex-wife, and he sent one of those cops an explicit photo, and they had it out for him, and he was like two houses down from where he lived with his mom, which is why when they were beating the fuck out of him, he was yelling, "Mama, Mama." Did you guys hear that?
Yeah. I did. Nothing confirmed, obviously, but yeah, I did see an article that alluded to that fact. Yeah.
If that's true, holy shit! Remind me not to sleep with an ex-wife or a cop's ex-wife. Holy Lord Almighty! Well, my girlfriend wouldn't let me do that.
Now, I got a question now.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we've all heard that even though the five cops that beat this guy were black, right, we've all heard that this is a problem that's still rooted in white supremacy.
Yeah, Corey Bush said that from Georgia.
Right. So now, if he was banging one of those white supremacist ex-wife and sending him pictures of it, also make him a white supremacist. So basically, we just had five black white supremacists beat another black white supremacist to death. I'm confused. I'm trying to figure out how things work in 2023.
I'm pretty sure that was a black KKK rally, honestly.
Yeah, it was. It must have been.
Daryl. Yeah, it was.
Well, I mean, and, you know, it's kind of messed up how the media, how they made it before you knew they were black. They made it seem like it was five white cops because they just left it out there, and a lot of people are thinking, oh, it's five white cops beating up on a black guy. All of a sudden, find out it's five black men beating up on a black man. Where in the hell is BLM? And then you had Kamala had enough nerve to go to the funeral. I'm like, why is she there? No. You know what? Because if they were white, she'd be running her damn mouth. But see, they're black. She should be running her mouth, but she's not. That tells you where her heart is. Because we have
Look at what Whoopi Goldberg said. She's like, is it time that white kids or white people get beat up by cops? Maybe that'll change things. I'm like,
Did you just
advocate for white people to be beat up now? I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
No, nobody pays attention to Whoopi Goldberg. She's an idiot. Just like that redhead lady that's by her on The View. Half of America don't even pay attention. Real women don't pay attention to The View.
Well, what bothers me is that the audience, they're clap and cheer like they're a bunch of... Like, did you guys just graduate from kindergarten class and you just want to hear yourself clap or what? The View is such a racist. That Joy Behar is such a... Oh, yeah, thanks.
They are racist. I don't like none of them. They're all... I would love to get on that show and tear them apart. Hey, View, put me on your show so I can tear you apart, every last one of you, because I'm going to talk about you.
You know, and then we put you on our show, and then what do you do? You just insult Chris and me. That's all you do.
Well, because I love you, though. It's a loving insult. I don't like them.
You know what?
Their asses to Canada.
I got a new name for Daryl. I got a new name for Daryl. I'm going to start calling him Clayton Bigsby.
I'm shaking shaking my head. I'm shaking my head.
I don't know how many people watch the Chappelle Show and understand that reference, but Clay Bigby was
a
black Ku Klux Klan leader.
Yeah,
in a
I got a surprise. We got another caller. It is Kamala Harris. Well, it's a representative of Kamala Harris. She claims that she is in the office with Kamala Harris, and Kamala Harris has something to say. Never mind, ladies and gentlemen. Apparently she's busy. We'll get back to that call here in a second.
With herself. Well, she has to explain to herself what she's doing in little girl term.
Hey, we're just here to cause controversy. That's all we're here to do.
The astronauts, they were in the rocket ship, and they were dressed in suits. Oh, my God. We picked a vice president that's a total – that's just – there's no word to describe her idiotic.
We can't hear you. Daryl, you got to talk into your microphone.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear the words coming out of my mouth?
I can't understand it, Joe Biden, but go ahead.
Oh man, that's messed up. If I was Joe Biden, y'all be like, "Oh, here comes the chief," because I'd be like, "Okay, social media, all y'all, I'm bringing some noise up in here." And you know what? It's time to do some cookouts.
You know, I don't know why I'm gonna be so hostile, Daryl.
Why? Did you guys see the headline where Joe Biden made the announcement that over half the women in his administration are women?
Yeah, I've seen that. You know what, Joe Biden, here's a song. This is the national anthem from now on. Every American should sing this song pretty much on a daily basis. Right after we get done saying the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag, this is what song we're going
to
play.
I'd like to shoot you in the ass with the BB gun. Lay there in the tall grass and laugh at what I'd done. Put a blood blister upon each bun. I'd like to shoot you in the ass with the BB gun.
Yeah, even our studio audience got an applause out of that one.
Why a BB gun? Use a double barrel shotgun with some pellets in it.
So, Chris, who's this Bigby guy?
Okay, so I think it was the very first episode of the Chappelle Show, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
and in that, Dave Chappelle played the character of a blind black kid that had been adopted by white parents and put into a private school for the blind, and no one ever told him that he was black. And so, of course, because he was growing up in this Georgia school, he ended up becoming a member of the KKK. And because none of his classmates knew that he was black either. And so he ended up becoming this like grand wizard of the KKK, and his parents would dress him up so that nobody could see that he was black. And it was a pretty funny, it was a funny sketch, but his name was Clayton Bigby, the black KKK grand
KKK.
wizard.
You have to see it. You got to see it. It's funny as shit.
Well, everybody, we lost Daryl.
Oh, my gosh. We'll get all of them. I'm going to say what he said, but I'm not going to.
Oh, man, I tell you what a show tonight, guys. You know, great news from Lee and Lisa Schmidt. We had a little fun here at the end, which is that's a good thing. We got to break it up a little bit. But next week, tune in. Lee and Lisa Schmidt will be on and talk in detail about what they've been involved with in D.C., who they met, what they talked about, and what they're doing next. That, and then we moved on to Alan and Taylor Martin with the sad death of their daughter, Trista. And I just, my heart breaks for them. And if you want to find out more about that, go to Twitter, follow Alan Taylor, Alan Martin, and at the symbol at the Martins, I believe it is. I follow them on there. Also, we have big news, too, for the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen. We launched our own Twitter page this week, me and Chris. Me and Chris met up in Leroy, Illinois at Woody's. Don't get any crazy ideas, Daryl. It's not a strip club. It's a restaurant. me and Chris sat there for, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes. So our page is on Twitter now, the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, or at TDT Radio Truth, I believe. Or you can find us at the Disrespected Trucker on Twitter, the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show on Facebook. You can find Daryl at ilikeboys.com. And
I'm going to kick your butt.
Yeah.
I'm kicking your butt. No. No. What's wrong with you?
That reminds me. I forgot to tell you. While you were out on the road, I did some custom work on your bike, your Harley. And it's done up in this nice motif now, custom paint and graphics. And it says, Riding for Biden.
You know what? You know, yep. I'm gonna come to y'all's house that night. I'm whooping y'all ass. y'all gonna have a visit by the Sandman. You can have. I'm gonna send that bike to you.
Biden. Jeremy, don't forget Spotify.
Riding for Biden. Yeah, don't forget Spotify.
I'm just sitting here like my jaw is dropped to the floor. Like, did a black man just say that he's going to break into our house later tonight?
Yep. You ain't going to see me coming. I'll be dressed in all black.
Shit, Chris. What did we get ourselves into? All right, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, you can get us on Spotify. Every one of our episodes, this episode included, will be downloaded tomorrow by Kim, our beautiful producer. Thank you so much, Kim, for the work you do behind the scenes. Chris, Daryl, hold on, give me a second. I got to catch my breath. Lee and Lisa Schmidt, Alan and Taylor Martin, all you callers tonight, every single person that was involved in the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show number 65, you made your contribution to making a great show. You got a young lady's story out there, and hopefully the right people heard it. Senator Ron Johnson and numerous other ones that have been fighting against these mandates and these vaccines. As more information comes out, and we realized that this was, in my opinion, crimes against humanity. Hopefully we can start holding some people accountable, including Dr. Fauci and Joe Biden and Jill Biden for pushing it. Anybody, doctors, nurses, healthcare workers, anybody that has been pushing this, when they knew that this wasn't good, they deserve to be held accountable. In what way? I don't know that. Whatever way the law provides, whether it's the Nuremberg Code, trial by your peers, however the cards may lie, the chips may fall, whatever you call it, they need to be held accountable. But anyway, let's wrap this episode number 65 up by giving our final thoughts. And let's go to Daryl first, then Chris, then myself, and we will end episode number 65, I think, of the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. So, Daryl, why don't you give us your final thoughts of how you think the show was and your observations?
So the black man gets to go first now. Oh, what the heck? No, you know what? This is an awesome show. I'm glad you brought them on because, people, you need to understand what we're doing. We're trying to bring some light into a bunch of BS that's going on. And unfortunately, we have our leadership, and we have multimedia, and we have all these entities. They don't want you to know the truth. They want to keep you ignorant. And we appreciate people calling in because that's what we're here for. That's why we're uncensored, because we want everybody to be able to talk freely with respect to each other and get it out there. And I appreciate all our guests that came on. Thank you very much. Condolences. We got to keep up this fight. And I appreciate being on this show because I love you. I love you. I love all three of y'all. So the show was awesome tonight, like always. I'm blessed to be here. And on the side of the road. That's how much, man, I love the show.
And we appreciate you too, my man. I mean, you are a welcome addition to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show family, along with Kim and Chris. You know, I started this show 65 episodes ago, and Chris has been with me 64 of them, and Kim's been probably half of that, and you're pretty close to that too. All four of us. The show doesn't work the way it does with, you know, minus one of us. I mean, it does. I mean, when I'm gone, you guys handle it, and when one of you guys are gone, we handle it. This show works because we're a team, and I appreciate each and every one of you, and I truly mean that from the bottom of my heart. It should be called the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show plus, I don't know, the Friends plus the Disrespected Trucker Radio. I don't know. You guys make the show. I'm just here to steer it in a direction, and 9 times out of 10 I hit a sandbar, so, you know, whatever. Chris?
Well, you know.
What's your final thoughts, my friend?
But, you know, I'm also
going to give
proud to be a part
before
of
you
the,
start, though, Chris, I want to say, Kim, be prepared, because I want you to give your final thoughts, too, before I get to my final thoughts tonight. I want to incorporate you a little bit more into the show. I know you don't care if you're on the show or not, but I'd like to hear what your thoughts and opinions are of the show tonight after Chris. So, Chris, go ahead.
All right. I'm also proud to be a part of the DTRS Plus community. I'm not sure which one of us is the plus, but fuck it, who cares? You know, I'm not going to be serious. I did, you know, earlier you mentioned that you'll start your new social media accounts 82,000 times if you have to. And I just got this vision. I got this vision of, like, all these things come to light. All the bad people get held accountable. And it's like, long gone in history. And then, like, there's a bunch of Chinese guys over at the TikTok headquarters that just keep shutting you down and making bets with each other on how long it'll be before you start another page. And you're like 90 years old in a nursing home. I got to get back on TikTok. Hold on. I got to make this page. I'm sorry. No, I was a
basically,
serious...
that's how it's been for the last year and a half. What's wrong with you,
man?
Kim, please, if you would come on air and let us know what your thoughts were of this episode of the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, and thank you so much.
Well, first off, the three of you are fucking crazy. Let me just say that right at the start. Like, my God.
Me?
Anyways, all of you,
I heard
all three. All three of you to your corners, the naughty corners. Anyways, absolutely heart-wrenching. I'm not going to lie. I had tears in my eyes listening to Trista's story, her parents, like absolutely, especially seeing how a young person is so influenced, not just young people. We see it every day. We all do. Social media, I mean, I get trolls constantly, you know, saying, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. My God, like, the information's right there. Like, what are you not connecting the dots? Like, and it just, it made me so sad just to think that she hid it from her parents and it cost her her life. I just absolutely heart-wrenching. I just, that was horrible. But the three of you are still fucking crazy. But, yeah, that's my thoughts.
Kim, thank you so much for everything that you do in the background, including putting our episodes up the very next day on Spotify, ladies and gentlemen. You can check out every single one of our episodes. And I'm not going to promise you that I'm always this calm. I usually go into a rant, and I kind of sound like an asshole sometimes. But, oh, well, I guess I am. But anyway, you know, speaking of what Kim just said about, you know, conspiracy theorists, I did a TikTok late last night before I went to bed, and it was about egg yolk antibodies that stop the COVID-19 spike proteins. It basically neutralizes them. And I did a TikTok on that because there was multiple studies done on it, and I was reporting what I found out. And that video, I woke up in the morning, and I had 8,000 more followers on my TikTok. I'm like, holy shit, what the fuck happened here? So I looked. It was that video. I had 165,000 views the last time I looked. And one of the comments on there was, you know, believing Russian propaganda isn't good for your mental health. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this was a study that is actually posted on the NIH, National Health Institute, or National Institute of Health, whatever you want to call it. It's there. It's, I mean, it's easily researchable. Another one was, I don't remember what the hell it was, but these people that watch mainstream media, they sit down in their chair at night with a bag of popcorn, and all they do is watch mainstream media and take every word to heart and believe every word that comes out of the broadcaster's mouth. I'm going to tell you something. There's going to come a day, and I hope that day is soon, when those people will be held accountable for spreading propaganda, even though that the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act was legalized, basically, under Obama in 2012, went into effect in 2013. It was inserted in the Defense Act, I believe it was, which essentially makes it legalized propaganda through mainstream media sources, state-issued propaganda. If you folks would do the research that some of us do, you wouldn't sound like such an ignoramus when you comment on our social media posts. But I've learned, you know, a few months ago that I'm not going to save the world. I'm not going to convince the opposition that I'm telling you the truth. All I can do is speak the truth, and Chris can help me with that, and Daryl can help me with that, and Kim can help me with that. And we can get the truth out there, and we hope that it's, you know, like a virus that they claim there was. It catches on. It catches like wildfire, and you start listening to it, and you start researching it for yourselves. Everything that we tell you on this show is a direction. Some of it's fact. Some of it is hearsay, but turns out to be fact. Some of it is conspiracy theory that turns out to be fact. No matter what it is, you have the option to hear what we have to say on this show and go and dig into it. And if you don't do that and you just cling to your feelings or your beliefs, I'm not interested in hearing your opinion, your beliefs, or your feelings. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, number 65, the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show is coming to an end tonight. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Daryl. Thank you, Kim. And thank you, Lisa Schmidt. And thank you, Alan and Taylor. God bless Trista. God bless Sean. Hashtag justice for Trista. Hashtag answers for Sean.
Have you ever had one of those days when nothing goes right? Your wife starts bitching about whatever it was she was bitching about last night. So you escape into the bathroom just to sit there on your throne. But after you finish your business, toilet paper's gone. Well, it's a great day for me to whoop somebody's ass.